Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Are you serious?
Hello, Marcus Brunzi here from How to Kill. And now we're about to kick off an amazing episode with Russell Cain, who's a comedian, podcaster, TV presenter, host, author, you name it, in entertainment. This guy has done it. I think he's even written a play. I think he has written a play. Yeah, so today I'm joined by Russell Cain, who's known amongst a lot of things, but at the moment something that's really connecting are his caning videos. We'll make sure that we pop a link in the show description so you can check out those. He also lets us know about a very special edition show he's got coming up with one of his new characters, Terry, this Sunday after the podcast drops. The podcast is dropping on the 24th of April 2020. So if you're listening after Sunday, April the 26th, then you'll have to watch that back. Right, we get through loads today, some funny stuff and also some serious chat as well. So here we go. Here's Russell Cain here on How to Kill an Hour.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm good, thank you very much. Thank you for all of the content you've been churning out during this corona period, because I don't even want to try and avoid it anymore. I think everybody's kind of like, oh, we shouldn't talk about it, but it's life now. I feel like part of every single conversation that I have, I need to kind of find out how everyone's coping. So how are you coping, mate?
Well, I've thrown myself into work massively. The first day of lockdown, I just hit the phones. I scheduled lots of things. And my thinking was this. Marcus, can I just... The tumble dryer is really bugging me. Can I close the...
please, we can start again and we can leave that in, because that is what it's like at the moment.
No. You probably want to...
This is what it's like now.
That is the noise of a Beko 1000 spin and tumble combined cycle. The nerds are now jacking off hearing that in the background. So anyway,
oh my gosh, what's the RPM?
I decided that I was going to throw myself straight in, and I knew the way the market was going to go, if you like, for us, because if you're a live performer, it's obviously everything's going to drift onto virtual. Now, I got a little bit lucky in that 3 or 4 years ago, I started doing these things called canings, which they're somewhere in between just doing a funny monologue and doing stand-up on your own in the bedroom. Now, doing stand-up on your own in the bedroom and trying to be funny with no audience is cringe. There's no way around it. But blogging and just talking on YouTube, everyone's used to seeing. So I wondered whether there was something halfway in between where I've got the body language of stand-up, but the timing slightly different. Incredibly difficult. No one's got a natural talent for it. The only way you could do it is learn it by getting it wrong for about 2 years. Well, aren't I the lucky little bastard that I just happen to have practiced a format I need? There's no other way of getting stand-up out there. And so I've just jumped in doing two of those a week. Topical stand-ups all about the lockdown and really throwing myself into it.
Yeah, man. And you're nailing it. Like, how do you do them? Because they're proper, like, bam, 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 bam. You smash the jokes out. So, like, do you just get on and rant? And how does it turn from what you do to what you
see? When I do a live tour date, before I go into, like, the tour shows, like, say, 2 hours total with an interval, but only about 90 minutes of that is whatever the show's about that year, my dad, my life, my wife, whatever. And the first 10 minutes is always me improvising. So I've got, like, that weird... slightly trippy, something not wired right in my brain. As long as the adrenaline's pumping and there's audience there, I can do that sort of Ross Nobley stuff, but high energy in my own style. My brain, for whatever egotistical, pathetic, narcissistic reason, as soon as I'm filming myself in my bedroom with no one watching, my brain goes into audience mode. I don't know why. Thank God it does. So what I do is I write a few bullet points. Say I'm going to talk about the soldier that walked around his garden. I'm going to talk about people that choose to sunbathe over not get coronavirus. And I'm going to talk about people that wear gloves to go to the supermarket. That's all I'll start with. three bullets and maybe a couple of silly things I've thought of in the shower while I'm getting ready or whatever. Then I'll just start improvising. So I will rant to the camera for 10 minutes, say 12 minutes, 13 minutes max. So the raw footage you would see is me sort of stood around going, oh, I know. I'll do an impression of the soldier over here. And then do a walk of the soldier. And then I'll do a silly face. Then I'll think of something funny to say. And then I'll run downstairs, stick it on the laptop and cut it down to, well, it used to be 3 or 4 minutes, but now I'm doing sort of 6, 7, 8 minute videos now.
Oh, mate. Yeah. They're really long. I mean, one of them even made a kind of a caning made an appearance on BBC last night, really. I feel like that's what it was.
I know. And so that's what's happened is, sorry, 1 second, Mark. Sorry.
Do you know what? While Russell takes care of this, I just want to say this is indicative of all Zoom conversations and all online conversations now. Everyone's juggling, doing stuff at the moment. Before we even pushed today, Russell was doing some business. I was like, oh, Russell, don't mind if I just send a quick email, do you? Just got 30 seconds here.
It's very unusual, but just so listeners know what's happening, it's the most Essex, I hate stereotypes, I'm my mate's flogging a car on my behalf and I've got to check the money's credited. I mean, yeah. Chassis number, blow talks your chassis number off. No, so what's happened is, I mean, I'm always busy and always working anyway, and I'm always doing the usual stuff, 8 out of 10 cats, this, that, and the other. But the reason, I suppose, I'm getting my phones ringing slightly louder than I would have expected with everything that's going on is I've got a reputation for being able, people know that format works. So for something like Big Night In, which at the time you and I were speaking, it was on last night, they know I'm a safe bet. I'm going to be able to polish that off in, you know, and so I just dropped them a little 30-second funny video. And I've got a few more things coming on as well, one on Channel 4, one on BBC 2. Yeah. It's not like you can earn money from it, but it's just keeping the content ticking over.
You did it for a good cause. Also, I've got a little clip of it here. I think you kind of used it as an excuse to diss someone in your household.
There are two types of people on lockdown, and we're living with each other. There's my team, the meerkats, with springs attached to our bodies, bouncing up and down, doing the Joe Wicks workout every day, running up and down the stairs, doing 4 loads of washing, planning, tidying, organising. And then there's the other group, the people we live with. Laid back, did Buddhism when they were 17. Don't let things stress you. Here's a sock to mess up your day. Your sock dropping, didn't pick up butter from the shop, dirty toilet idiots.
Who was that directed at, Russell?
And that is the cleaned up version of that joke, as you can imagine. But that is paradoxically, I think, I don't know what your domestic setup is. I can't remember, Mark. You married?
Yeah. Oh, I'm taken. Not married, but yeah, taken. Yeah.
Taken, claimed. And but the look, in my experiences, most relationships have sort of a tigger and a tortoise, mostly. And the more opposite they are, the more it seems to work, but the more they wind each other up.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lindsay just doesn't get angry or bothered. And again, we missed a flight. It doesn't matter. We can have a holiday at the airport. She's one of those. Whereas I'm like got a vein bulging out the side of my head. If, you know, I'm 2 minutes late getting out of bed, we made a schedule. It's 7:32. Yeah. But we give each other something we need, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I think there needs to be a bit of balance. If you're both the clean freaks, I think it ends up being jarring. Yeah. One of you jars the other because it becomes like a who's cleanest competition. No, I'm more OCD. Absolutely. Than you. And if you got two filth bags, yeah, go on.
Yeah, you need someone needs to place the rocket up the bum and someone needs to receive the rocket.
Someone
needs
to
receive
the
rocket. Receiver.
Yeah.
So you need a giver and a receiver. So you're either the one that needs the rocket up the arse or you're the one lighting the rocket.
Like all relationships. Yeah, like all relationships.
Yeah.
So you're managing to churn out your content and you're managing to really stay on top of things. I mean, what is your tech set up at the moment? Because I find everyone's got to do stuff from home. So you've got to be quite clever with the way that you get your content out. How are you making stuff?
I get, including last night, a lot of messages from people who are quite sort of far on in the business game. What camera are you using, man? I want to treat myself. What's your tech? Your videos look so sharp. Didn't look sharp on telly last night, obviously, because it's been blown up to 25 frames per second for TV. But if you look on my channel, people think I'm using some DSLR camera or some big setup with lighting. All I do, I mean, is literally a window like this. Sometimes this window, it's now covered in historical figures where I'm pretending to homeschool. I literally put a sat-nav holder, boom, on the window. I put my iPhone X, not the latest one, not the posh one, selfie camera, not even the better flip camera, into the sat-nav, and I speak into my landscaped phone.
Natural light.
A sat nav holder on a window. That is it.
No mic.
And then, so no mic. The mic from the phone. Sick. And then when I'm done, I airdrop it onto my MacBook, and I use the built-in editing software iMovie to cut it. So the answer to the question is that when did you? That's a lot of people asking. Why did you decide to do jump cuts? It's so funny the way you teleport around the screen. Does anyone know another way I could record it? Because if I'm using one camera, I don't really have much choice. I'm not going to nail one take in like 8 minutes. So I have to teleport. So I didn't put jump cuts in because I think they're hilarious. They were invented in about 1930 by a French film director. It's hardly innovative. I put them in because I've got no choice. I've got one camera. So I've turned a negative into a positive. And the original concept 4 years ago was if I just do like a funny face or I appear with my bum sticking out, it'll be like a funny, surreal thing. And it allows me to appear somewhere else to finish a thought. So this thing I've done to cover up my dearth of equipment has turned into a feature that people think I'm doing on purpose because I'm this high energy crazy guy. But in fact, it was like a lot of inventions, like blue tack being a leftover in a factory, like Marmite being the leftover in a yeast factory. Someone's looked at some leftovers and gone, my God, maybe this is part of the product.
Yeah. And because it's so easy to do, I guess that's why you're able to do it when you're out and about, because over the years I've seen you in different locations. I mean, you have got your spot, your spot, which kind of looks like a bedroom maybe, or room that you use it. But yeah, all your dressing rooms that you're in, you just slap it up and crack on the same style.
It comes down to, if you're trying to film stuff with your own cat and all you've got is just your bog standard iPhone camera, and you've got to use the selfie front camera, because otherwise how can you check your frame? Although I do know a hack for that. Remind me to give you that in a sec. Then you need light. If you don't have camera, then you need light. And the other thing to be wary of, if someone's listening to this and think, well, I do want to, you know, imagine what I could achieve with a really great Canon E60 or something. The thing to be very wary of is they are made for amazing photos or for you sat there doing a video. As soon as you move, that auto lens takes a second to go and find you. So what happens is you sit down to the editing suite and you start a thought over to the right side of frame, and it's some hilarious sentence comes out of your mouth and you're soft, and it takes a second for that to focus. So although the camera is quality, and you'll be able to spot the ones on my official Russell Cain Facebook page where I've used my posh camera, look a different world of clarity. Filming is a headache, because if I'm going, the thing about slow people is, and I want to jump over here and go, they drag their heels around the house. I've got to pause, focus, deliver line. And the timing is never the same as when I've run across, bounced off the bed and hit it in the breath I want to hit it. So that's the note of caution I would say to people. Now, the hack I mentioned, how can we use a phone to film ourselves, particularly during lockdown? And if we want to use the other side of the phone where the camera is slightly higher quality, how can we do that and see ourselves in frame? Because you might end up cutting your hair off. Yeah. Well, if you're like a depressing majority of us, an iPhone and MacBook user, this is the hack I know. So obviously it's is that called a lightning cable, Mark? Is that one
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that
lightning.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. So what you obviously you've got a lightning cable in the bottom of your phone, but your laptop has got a USB-C charger. So what you need a USB-C to lightning cable. It's about £4 on Amazon. Get it delivered, go USB-C to lightning, and go into QuickTime. In QuickTime, change the input camera to your phone. Your laptop then becomes a monitor. So you stick your phone in your tripod above your laptop, and you can just, obviously you can't look down at your own face, but you can see roughly that you're in frame, enabling you to use the reverse camera, which some websites want, or you might want to try. Nice. So there's a little hack there.
Nice. How'd you find
took
that
me a
out?
Long while to find that out, a long while, a lot of digging. So I put that out there to help people use that reverse camera, because there's only so much you can get out of the selfie camera on these phones, you see.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I do like the fact that you keep it like a real simple setup, so you can just focus on the content, because you do quite a lot of these, man. And I feel like there's obviously a lot to talk about now with Corona every single day, but you've been doing it for 3 years. So the fact that you can just slap the camera up and then all you have to focus on is just getting your content out must be quite relaxing. It means that you've not got to fart around setting up, because, you know, when you're doing like your proper TV stuff and even when you're doing your live shows, there's a lot of tech setup, isn't there, to do.
It's liberating on two levels. One, I mean, for example, you might not even remember this, but about 2 or 3 years ago, a United Airlines passenger was dragged off of an aeroplane. I think he was like a Thai, Chinese, Indonesian guy. Do you remember? He was dragged off kicking and screaming and abused by the staff. And it was a massive scandal. And we were literally getting ready to go out for dinner, me, Lindsay and Minna, that's my daughter. And I knew that there was a topical program recording that day in London of I Got News to You that I wasn't on that week. And I thought, they're going to get in first with the jokes. By the time my wife and daughter had got everything sorted and were in the car, I on the window, improvised for 8 minutes, knowing that when I get back, I can edit that. I could still enjoy my wine at dinner. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to have a drink at dinner because my brain switches off. And so I hit that before the baby was strapped into the car seat. Came back home, my 8 minutes was there, cut it, dropped it the next morning. I was ahead of a Vibrant News for You, Mock of the Week, all these people. So I got in because I knew some of the jokes were quite obvious that I was doing, meaning the other program's probably going to do them as well. So I thought, bang, get in first. So you can, it's liberating in a tech sense, the ease of setup, but it's liberating in the reactive sense as well.
Yeah.
In that the marching captain, Tom, who generated the unbelievable fucking 20 million.
What a guy.
I know, I have to shame everyone, but I thought I need to get that content out Friday lunchtime. So I wouldn't normally drop on Friday 1 p.m. because your peak traffic's 8-9 p.m. at the moment. But I thought getting at 1 p.m. that way, no one can say that I've copied Ian Hislop or Jimmy Carr or you know, or whoever's Paul Merton, whoever's on that night. I get him first, so it's liberating in that sense. If I can get to 300,000 views by then, that's good. And it's also, when I appear on those programs, I love doing them. I love going on Graham Norton or Loose Women or anything. I'm just a chatterbox. I love being on anything. But if you see me on the Graham Norton couch being hilariously funny, you've still got to translate, oh, he's quite funny when he's bantering, but is he funny when he's on stage with a microphone? Whereas there's less translation between me monologuing down a webcam than there is with me sat on a couch.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to be crude or crass, but it's a business at the end of the day. There's more conversion to people coming to the theatre when I do these than if I appear on a freaking 2 million people watching chat show. I mean, it's unbelievable, but it's the truth.
Future though, man, it's where it's at. And I think, you know, it was the same people that were kind of poo-pooing YouTubers 10 years ago now that are kind of got egg on their face because these guys are also, you know, reaching massive audiences. And it's weird, like how we'd say like 2 million people watching a TV show. That's a big deal. But now if you get a couple of million hits on a Facebook video, it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. Yeah. But, you know, it happens every single day with people. Yeah.
It's rare, and it's rare for my type of content to get those numbers
because
I'm asking a lot of people long form stand up content online. So when I get a solid one, so for example, I dropped one yesterday. Solid is 1 to 200,000. That's just a solid performer. But that's fine for me. 0.25% people of that think, do you know what? I don't mind seeing his next show. Home and joy. That's all it's about for me. I live to be on that stage with a microphone.
Yeah.
I don't care what I'm doing. Whether I'm hosting Children in Need, if I'm sat next to Judy Love on Loose Women, as long as everything's about driving that theatre experience and that tour, that's what makes me tick.
Yeah. And now they're potentially for the foreseeable is that's not really going to happen. Cause I would have loved to speak to you about your tour, which I presume is that going to 2021. Are we looking at it?
I was lucky. I polished off most of it was a 2020 tour, basically.
Yeah.
It was a 2019-2020 tour. So I polished off most of it. It was just a few straggler dates, 10 or 15 smaller rooms that I was playing that I liked.
Yeah.
So it was sad to lose them, but I'm very fortunate. I'm not like some poor sods that had their massive tours all sold out, ready to go, spent all the money on the marketing and lost everything.
Yeah.
So I have rescheduled a couple of those for September and October, but part of me is thinking, I think they're getting rescheduled again, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not sure if it'll be open in September.
Mate, like I've been having conversations, like I had a little Zoom, had a Zoom dinner with Fabi. I sound so fucking sad, but yeah, I had a Zoom dinner the other day. You know, it's the norm now. There was like, the guys were like, winter holiday, what are we thinking about? They all started making plans and they were like, Marcus? And I was like, you know what, guys, I don't want to sound like a dickhead, but I don't think I want to entertain this conversation because how can I think about
it? I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not even flu season at the moment and we're getting fucked by flu. So, and it is flu season.
I, There's a possibility that things like travel and seeing your family and a few leisure things might restart in September, October, but even pubs, but theatres will be one of the last things to open. Because if you think about it, there's not many things in society where you're forced to sit next to someone for the whole night while they breathe in and out.
So
longer than being on a bus. On a bus or a tube, you can move away from someone, you can get your own space. But in a theatre, you can't. You just got to sit there. So it'll be one of the last things they do. So I feel so sorry for all the actors, singers, stand-ups who aren't as fortunate. It's just pure luck of timing. If this had happened to me in 2019, I too would be like, shit, man, I've got 6 months here.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky, before I've got to start selling shit.
Yeah.
And I'm in a fortunate position. I'm well off, but I've still only got six months on the clock. So you can only imagine how other stand-ups are doing.
Yeah.
Because we don't get any help, particularly if you're a limited company and stuff like that.
Exactly. And I don't want to sound like a negative guy, Russell, but what if stand-up isn't something that you can do for an extended period of time? Like, we're talking maybe, you know, over a year or so. Like, what do you think is going to happen to the landscape of comedy?
No idea. I've got no idea, mate. That is terrifying. It's slowly dawning on me now. I think we'll definitely, your post-Christmas dates will happen unless there's some other development in this virus or something else happens.
Yeah.
But I mean, eventually I will have to start finding a way to monetize what I do online. I've always shied away from that. All my content's like the NHS, free at the point of access, and all I want you to do is clap a bit. But, you know, there are things you can do on YouTube. I've never bothered with YouTube before, but I've started building it now. So I've built that up to about 50,000, which is, you know, not massive, but it's a decent YouTube channel. And you can do things like, which I don't know if you watched that documentary online about when the online reality streamers are online. I think it was China, and people pay to send like a smiley emoji, and people like skinned themselves sending emoji love like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the thought of doing that is like some dystopian hell. It's called a super chat on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I never press the super chat button. But, you know, I'll have to do stuff like that. There's a couple of other things. There's like theatrical platforms where I could just, this tour show is just going to disappear because I've lost the recording as well. I'm supposed to record it. That's not going to happen. So what I could do is I could limit it to 1,000 people a night, charge everyone a quid to get in and do the show with a wider camera, like the whole 45-minute show. I don't know. I mean, everyone's got to earn money. And like the way I was brought up, I'm not shy about discussing it. Like a lot of entertainers would be like, oh, don't talk about money. There's people out there on 15, 16 grand a year. That's the truth. But we've all got to earn money. Like it's something we should do. Everyone shouldn't be shy about talking about, because we've all got to get through the next year. And I think sometimes it can help people when they hear that we're all in the same boat. Everyone's pot runs dry eventually, whether you're on 16 grand a year, 60 grand a year, 600 grand a year. If you've not planned for this, you will be fucked within 12 months.
Yeah.
And most of us are bellends that didn't plan for this. I'm one of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I live within my means. You know, nothing lasts forever, but I'm right for now. But there's a couple of people in the industry that I've spoken to and like, you know, I'd never drop their names, but they're like, fucking hell, Marcus, this shit needs to fuck off in 6 weeks because I have got bills to pay. Like, so, yeah.
And particularly if they're registered, if they're like Bob Smith Limited and they're comedian Bob Smith, their accountant would have been doing his job probably and gone, oh, the sandwich, that's a lunch expense, which it is.
Yeah.
But what that means is it's not anything dodgy. It just means you're obviously earning 10, 15 grand a year or profit.
Mm.
And so the help is based on the profit.
Exactly.
Like, you've got two kids and a mortgage and all that. Oh man, where everyone's in the same boat, and there are people 100 times worse off than us.
Yeah,
but there is a unity in them all in together. There is obviously a tier of society that don't give a shit with their speedboats and jet skis and all that.
Oh mate, they're cashing in right now. They're like, bring on the recession, house prices. Let's cash in. Let's
exactly, control. Exactly. And Bezos has made about $1 billion, hasn't he?
Oh mate, you know what? Supermarkets and Bezos are just absolutely enjoying life at the moment. It's ridiculous. And also apps are selling as well. I think the top apps on the App Store, I got an article actually, 9.5 million, I think, is 9.7 million is the revenue recently in dollars on the App Stores, the top apps that have been downloaded. So your likes of Candy Crushes and your Fortnites and Roblox, even though Fortnite's a free game, they are making so much dosh in this.
Imagine. And that's what these people are going to have to tell their grandkids.
Yeah.
My great grandparents sat me on my knee and told me about like gas attacks and shelling and the East End being burnt to rubble and doing a sing song in the underground. These guys are going to think, you don't understand what it was like. I had to walk around a virtual world with a gun. I had to line up a pineapple on top of a blueberry for weeks, and my shopping was delivered to the front garden. I had to walk it in. Oh my God, Grandad, was it really that bad?
It's true. So actually, sorry, my bad. It's 5 million a day in revenue. Daily revenue is what the top games thinking. Are bringing in. Fuck.
I thought that'd be a daily.
Yeah, and just one game, Coin Master, is taking 1.7 million. That's the fourth on the list. That's so, you know.
Someone's earning more than Wayne Rooney at last. Hooray.
Hey, hey. But I just want to say, Russell, though, for those of you looking at the video clips and watching the recording of this, how are you looking so fresh? I'm looking like Will Smith in Pursuit of Happiness right now. Yeah, afro beards all over the place.
Is that the one where he cries in the toilet in his Sunday
suit? Yeah.
That scene did me. Oh my God, I was in a mess in the cinema.
Yeah, messes like that.
Well, listen, it's the Essex. You brought up a certain way. So each night I go to bed, Lindsay's got me on something called tan water. So you just put a spritz, it just maintains that orange glow.
Yeah.
The hair is my bed head. That's how I've got out of bed, unbelievably. And I'm just staying on the exercise. So I might even be able to just swivel the camera. Can you see a shed in the corner there?
I can just about see a shed in the back of the garden, yeah.
That's the shed. That has turned into a gym.
So a shed of shred.
I'm turning buff out of boredom because there's nothing. An hour in there, like, I can't bear exercise. It bores me shitless. But an hour in there, no, Daddy, no, Russell, can I talk to you about something? So I'm making the workouts getting longer and longer and longer because I'm literally living in my shed. So
Daddy's just going off for his 7-hour workout. I'll see you tonight at dinner. Okay.
It's bliss down there. I've got a little Wi-Fi point I've extended down there.
Nice.
So I can put something on, catch up, watch a film. And then if anyone looks through the window, I just like bust a bicep curl and jump on the yoga mat with some popcorn.
So you're not joining in with the workout challenges? What other challenges are there out there? There's
five.
Yeah. Is she on that?
No, don't be silly. A unicorn or something after about 2 minutes.
Yeah, when I meant challenges, I meant the 5K runs, the top three countdowns. I think you did a cane in about.
The pillow challenge is one I've only just seen last night, so I'm going to have to get into that.
What is that one?
Well, it's worth Googling, lads. It's celebrities being naked except for a pillow.
So I've seen that one. Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah. Just with a belt. Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So anything I can make fun of I do.
Yeah.
I think there should be a bandwagon challenge where we actually make bandwagons in the garden, then just climb on them and film it. It's like the end of all challenges where we actually literally jump on a bandwagon.
The ultimate or the hashtag which are your most hated challenge. I'd do that as well because fucking hell. I'm not doing any more 5Ks. I've had enough.
Running bores me so much because for me to do exercise, I have to have some sort of television or documentary or film running. I can't work out to music because I get bored after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I have to make my brain forget that I'm exercising.
Yeah.
So if I really get into, I don't know, an episode of I've Got News For You, that'll be a brilliant 30-minute workout. I won't even know if I'm working out. So maybe don't lift as heavy weights as I could because when you've got music on, you're like, yes, that's right. Tell it how it is, Drake. But when you're, when it's TV, it's a bit more passive, but you get more workout done.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I totally hear that, mate. So with regards to being in the house with the kid, I think you kind of mentioned it a few times. What's fatherhood like now in the house?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, funny enough, there's a podcast, if I'm allowed to plug another podcast.
Yeah, plug it. Ooh, plug away.
The Johnny Cochran host. It's a new one.
Mate. Yeah, yeah.
How's your father? And I spoke to Johnny the other day, and his kid's roughly the same age as mine. So I've got a little one. She's only four. Oh, kids that age love it because their parents are available. I think if she was like 11 or 12, I'd be doing a heading by now. But because she's only four, I mean, they're programmed, aren't they? They want that as nanas, mums, dads, as many people there as
100%.
Possible. So she's, to me, although she's a satanic, eye-rolling, nutty, high-energy fuck of a child, she seems happier. She's like more content, more fulfilled. Yeah. Me and Lindsay, of course, are like take it in turn sobbing at the top of the stairs.
Sounds like you've got a lot of inspiration for new material. I'm looking forward to stand-ups talking about what their time was like in lockdown. That's going to be the new kind of thing, isn't it?
There's lots of new observational things. I mean, disposable glove wearing etiquette, mask etiquette. I've been doing stand-up about the way we pass each other in the street when you take your daily 30 minutes walk. I call it drama passing, where you leave slightly. There's someone like
there's
a fine line between the correct amount of space because you're walking past someone who's older and you want to show respect and keep them safe, and then leaving about like two streets worth, like I've got leprosy or something.
I'm the latter, so I'm pissing people off. I'm like looking at them with disgust. I'm like,
and you drama passing.
I'm like,
the only thing worse than drama passing is presenting the space with the hand where you go, you may pass. Like, hey, you pass, mate. You pass me.
It's going to be danger passing coming up soon as well, where you get as close as you can to the person and then just as it gets to 2 meters, go, fuck you. Yeah, there you go.
I saw I'm lucky enough not to live where I grew up anymore, but most people I grew up with still live there. And that's what it's like around my way. All the G's think, coronavirus can't get me here. I can take it out with my karate moves. Like, you can't, Darren. Take your BMX over there, your bell end.
Yeah, piss off. Right, so there's one thing that is going to change and has changed dramatically. Yeah, and it's not
my underwear, that's for sure.
Oh, mate, telling you, telling me. Right.
That's the undercrackers.
Oh, brother, I've been getting away with some proper criminal behavior. I'm like, do you know what? No one's got to see me. Do you know what? These are going on for another day. Fuck it. Yeah. You know what?
Us. Due to crappiness.
But there's one thing that's changed, right, for the youngsters today, and that is how to chat each other up, because they've got to use serious online game. You can't be using the usual kind of face-to-face tactics that people are using in the past. So there's a website called Clover that actually picked up some of the most highly used emojis and worked out which emojis should be used to get a response from males or females. So I'm quickly going to ask you, Russell, what are your thoughts on I'll ask you to guess which emojis for men are the most responded to. And I'm going to ask you the same for women as well. So for men, what kind of emojis would you say men are replying to the most then, Russell?
I mean, if I get an aubergine off a girl, I'm responding to that. I'm just being honest. Don't lie and pretend you're. If Lindsay said, meet me upstairs and sent an aubergine, the stairs would catch on fire.
Yes.
I went up so quickly. I would say that. The fire one as well. It's not, if girls calling you hot, that's nice.
Yeah.
But fire plus aubergine, that's venereal disease. So we don't want those two together.
Fire and aubergine. Unfortunately, the ones that men aren't replying to are not fire and aubergine. But you know what, though? I think if somebody sent me an aubergine, I wouldn't think they're trying to peg me. I think they're suggesting that I should bring my aubergine over there. Apparently, it's smirk.
Because women in the last 10 to 15 years have reclaimed the word boning. Like girls will say, they will use boning to figuratively.
Great. I think that's
feminism has claimed the aubergine.
I think that's only fair. That's 100% fair. So for men, apparently it's the smirking face is the one. So it's like not the full smile. You know, like the smile where it's kind of like curving up to the side. That's the one for us.
Smile, isn't it?
Yeah. The filthy one, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. What you doing? Yeah, yeah. Thinking.
Yeah.
And apparently we're not replying to the Vulcan salute. That doesn't work for us. Or a wedding ring, which I find hilarious. Yeah, or the pile of poo emoji.
Beyonce ruined that one for everyone.
She did. She definitely
did. If you like it, then you better delete.
Yeah. Right, Russell. So let's flip it over. For women, what do you think the most responded to emojis would be? If I was a man wanting to impress a lady and keep the responses going with my banter, what do you think would be a good emoji?
See, this is something girls don't get enough respect for, but I think, well, I'm only going on the girls I've dated. Girls love to be told that they're funny and that their banter's top drawer.
Yeah.
And it's even more of a big thing now when you watch Love Island and all of that, people that are under sort of 20, between 18 and 25.
Yeah.
I think the laughing ones in there, you're so funny. Oh, you're really funny, I think.
All right, cool. Got that down.
I think the heart eyes would get a response.
Heart eyes, laughing and heart eyes. All right, with you. All right, let's check it out. Go on. Let's have a third one as well. We did three last time. Go on, let's
see what I was going to send the dancing one. I always think something with a bit of action in it.
Okay, emojis, heart eyes, and dancing. All right, cool. Let's have a little look at this. All right. So it is, the heart eyes is in there. Oh, definitely. Heart eyes is in there, Russell.
The squirting emoji. Oh, sorry, sweat droplets.
Sweat droplets, yeah. Why are they even lying to us? No one ever calls it sweat droplets. Yeah.
That is not the sweat droplets. That's normally paired with the aubergine. Let's be honest.
It's aubergine, squirt, and tongue. That's what it is. Those three go together. But yeah, women reply to the tongue.
Girls like it ruder than that. So they're ruder than the ones
the guys' ones. The boys' ones are quite... Hang on.
The boys' ones are kissing lips, hearts...
See no evil...
And as rude as it gets is a smirky face.
Yeah.
But girls like tongue hanging out the side of the face, just a tongue on its own, squirting, a devil face.
And a
dirty, like naughty monkey face. I mean, that's the girl I'm dating.
Yeah.
Women do not reply to an aubergine. Well, I would have guessed that.
Yeah, yeah. Clapping.
It's called him.
Yeah, and clapping as well, or fist bump. Okay, fair enough. And women love to send a smiling face, heart.
You know why fist bump? Because that's like, yeah, bro, that's like friend zoning a girl, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, but I think if you throw a couple of, you know, here's me giving dating advice, I'm warranted. If you throw a couple of fist bumps in just to, you know, just to mix things up a little bit, don't make anyone feel too safe at the start. Just be like, it's really nice.
You're the one that's not getting replied to, yeah. Marcus. Thank God you're a guy.
Safe. I mean, it's just such an interesting time at the moment. I mean, everyone we're talking to with regards to what they're putting out content-wise have kind of spoken about this whole shift, and it's really good that you're doing this shift. But another thing that you're already have the jump on is podcasts. You're already out there doing podcasts. So Evil Genius is a show that you invited us on. It was great to be on there, and the premise of the show, I'll let you continue with it, is a great one. So what's the kind of plan with the audio side of things? Because you're doing really well there.
Well, I haven't managed to persuade my producers to do like we're doing today. They're convinced too much would be lost. So I'm fighting a battle to say, come on, guys, I'm sat on my bum doing nothing. Yeah. I can get the research done. We were right in the middle of researching Karl Marx and Charlie Chaplin. And I think we could do this type of setup, a Zoom one with good sound. So I think it needs to happen. But I had to record a link and say Evil Genius is taking a break.
Yeah.
So we've got half the series out, sadly. The premise of Evil Genius is I take icons and legends from history. Could be Bernard Manning, Margaret Thatcher, could be Gandhi. We've done Muhammad Ali. We've done Albert Einstein, Roald Dahl, loads of people at the top. Everyone thinks they know everything about them. And then I let off what I call fact bombs all the way through. And my panel of three get their minds blown. And I go, did you know Gandhi did X, Y, Z? No way, they can't be gloomy. And it drives the discussion. Then at the end, I have to vote evil or genius. Yeah. And we either start with someone that everyone thinks is genius, or we start with someone that everyone thinks is evil. Oliver Cromwell's just behind me there. I think there he is.
Oh, hello, Oliver.
It's either a climb up, so the Bernard Manning episode, he's racist, the old rubbish comedian. So I thought I took my panel in the other direction. Whereas Gandhi, this saint that you can't say anything negative about, I had to go in that direction.
Yeah.
It really messes with people's heads and you accidentally learn a lot. And I'm really horrible to the panel. I put them in all kinds of positions to vote on things that no one wants to be seen to have an opinion on. So it's very popular. It's accidentally quite funny, and you walk away and you'll know a shitload about, you know, whoever.
Yeah, I mean, you've had some cracking ones. Yeah, some absolutely cracking ones. I mean, obviously the two episodes.
Mary Stone. Yeah. Who did you do?
Dickens and
Charles Dickens. And, yeah, Charles Dickens has picked up some traffic this week because the kids are studying Charles Dickens at home. One of the key stages. So BBC have been pushing the Charles Dickens episode out.
Interesting. Yeah. And the other one was, she's a Hollywood actress, but she was an absolute machine. Joan Crawford. Oh.
Yeah, what a bitch.
But and the fact that that's kind of a horribleness, and that's kind of the premise of the show, is sometimes it's the evil things that people do get them into these positions. So, you know, are they evil? Are they genius? Yeah.
And do you keep the art? Like, now, if I switch on a movie and it says produced by Harvey Weinstein, right?
Yeah.
But it's the best movies ever made. Is it my duty to switch that movie off and not watch it again the same way you might not listen to the Thriller album anymore for other reasons?
Mm.
So some people hear that those first beats of Billie Jean kick in. They're like, no, I just can't do it. I've got kids. So whatever your opinion is, some people are doing that. So by that rationale, do we do that with Harvey Weinstein, right? And that's how the idea for this series started. Once you know about Charles Dickens and the way he treated his very, very, very young girlfriend and all his children and wife, is it really right that I sit there with a warm glow in my chest reading Oliver Twist? Or should I be throwing it across the room?
Exactly. But you make it harder than that, though, Russell. You make it harder than that. You did Steve Jobs, bruv. You did Steve Jobs. You fucked everyone up there. Yeah,
Joan Mary Stokes is one of my people. Many people won't even heard of her, but you will if you've ever gone to a family planning clinic and picked up the pill or some condom. She's the one who started family planning. She empowered women to take control of their own bodies and their own contraception. What could be negative? Well, do you know why she did that? So working class women would stop breeding. She didn't like the thought of poor people having babies. So under the cover of helping everyone, she basically helped people not produce more peasants. And her son got engaged to a woman and she disowned her son. Do you know why? The woman was short-sighted. She was a eugenicist. The woman's eyes weren't 20/20, so she was like, you're disowned if you marry her. She fully believed in the genetic superiority of the elites.
And that is a taste of evil genius. Thank you, Russell. You know, it's mental, mate. Absolutely mental. Yeah, and the Steve Jobs episode, it did have me looking at my iPhone in a funny way for a little while, which was it was a hard one. But also, some of the stuff that these people do, it's not all super deep. Some of the trivial stuff that they do that's evil is kind of like, it's rough, but it's also quite groundbreaking. Like, I don't want to spoil this, but I don't remember if you spoke about this in the episode specifically, but Jobs did something with an iPhone. iPod, the first one, the prototype iPods, he did something in a board meeting, which was rough with one of the last prototypes. I think that was on the podcast that I listened to, wasn't it? Was that episode?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you're testing me now.
All right, fuck it. Yeah.
I've been here 19 times. There's more chance of you recalling this information than me.
Fair enough, mate. Another thing I want to mention on today's show is comedians.
One thing interesting about Jobs is he banned iPads from his own children.
That's interesting.
What does that tell you?
Mm.
He would not allow his kids to use tablets.
Yeah, never get high on your own supply. Biggie Small said it, mate.
Exactly. Yeah. Tablets are addictive.
Trust me, 100%. comedians playing with themselves. That's happening still, isn't it? Isn't it?
What's that? Comedians playing with themselves is... What is it?
Oh, from coping with stroppy teenagers to isolating a couple and avoiding arguments to finding new sports to play and perfecting a hit podcast. No topic will be off limits. Enjoy these comics as they self-shoot their comedy nuggets, helping us all get through isolation together.
Ah, oh, they've changed the title of it.
Yeah.
Is that the BBC Two one?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's called The Isolation Station up until about 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe it's...
Sorry.
All right. Maybe it's still called that. Maybe I got it wrong, yeah.
No. That was the working title until Tuesday. If it's the BBC Two show,
yeah,
then it's changed its name a couple of days ago. I didn't know it was called that. You're right. Now it rings a bell. I've seen it on an email. It's changed its name. Yes.
Wicked.
So it's 5 minute set, so slightly longer, self-filmed. And I've done a caning rant about the journey to the supermarket and back under lockdown with all those things we've been talking about, drama passing, glove usage, people socially distancing outside the supermarket and then touching each other once they're in there, completely negating the benefit of 2 meters apart outside. So yeah, I've done a little rant for that. So that'll be on BBC Two. Again, self-shot, again, iPhone. Didn't even bother with my QuickTime hack. And just did the front camera.
Nice.
And it's on BBC Two. It's crazy.
Nice. So I look forward to seeing that, man. Thank you for getting some time with us. Where can we find you? Where should we look for you online? Because you're doing stuff all over the place. Like, you got your Facebook, your YouTube, but where should we go?
Yeah, I make sure the caning videos appear at the same time on, in case you're, some people are a bit anti-Facebook. I do upload, I don't do much with my YouTube channel, so it's a bit desolate looking, but all the videos are there. So if you go to my official YouTube, Russell Caine YouTube channel, you'll find all the videos there. But the place where it goes on, where I interact, where I do some more quirky live events, that's my official Russell Caine Facebook page. I've also never done character comedy in my life. I've developed a character called Terry Donovan. I mean, I'm such a purist, I wouldn't ever talk about the character. I pretend he's another person, even in interviews.
Yeah.
But so this Terry Donovan, he's doing his first Facebook Live on Sunday. I anticipate that being quite big. He's a 5G coronavirus anti-vaxxer truther conspiracy theorist from Essex, who's like an ex-West Ham type person who's discovered Reiki and shit like that. So he's doing a truth about vaccination and Reiki on Sunday, 7:30 p.m. I've timed it just in case. There's this brilliant new BBC One nature program on with Chris Packham called Primates, which I think everyone's going to watch. So I thought I'll go 7:30 p.m. just before Primates.
Yeah.
I'll put Terry Donovan on. So he'll be there 7:30 p.m. If you want to know the truth about vaccines, you've got a couple of guests on. Professor Kempner, who's played by Luke Kempner, who's an American professor of aromatherapy who's discovered how lavender oil can beat the coronavirus. And I've also got another chemical dance floor theorist called Danny Stone, whose blogger name is Mandy McDab. And he's going to talk about how you can use dance floor chemicals such as Kit and Mandy to fight the coronavirus.
Yes. Also, Terry's Barnett, mate. Yeah, we definitely will. Terry's Barnett, what kind of product is going into that? Because that is looking very different to this.
Head in a sink, come up, go like that, hairspray, film. Right. And I had a pair of yellow gloves on the desk. I was like, they'll do.
Yeah.
And then Terry Donovan was born. And he's got the amount of people, if you want to go have a laugh, because I put some of them on Twitter as well, because Twitter's limited to 2:20, which is why I can't put more content on Twitter. Have a look at some of the comments. I got one the other day. It's like, I normally like Russell, but I cannot believe he's forwarding this Terry guy's stuff. Why are you associating with him? It's like, it's literally me in glasses. It's the most, and the accent's about like one shade different of Essex. It's like my accent should be when I'm not, you know, once I've had a drink, that becomes my accent.
So we've actually found the audience of people that would be convinced that Superman and Clark Kent are two different people when he just puts on glasses and a little suit.
It's unreal, and I've had a couple of warnings, like, be careful of community guidelines, and then we've had to go back and go, this is, you know, this is character comedy. I'm not actually... Terry's main theory is that the coronavirus was put into the 5G mask by the people who stood to benefit, so Amazon and the main one, Iceland Supermarket. So he's just got this thing that Iceland Supermarket's behind the whole thing, and that Kerry Katona and Peter Andre are part of it. That's his theory. But it's not far from some of the stuff that people are putting out there. I mean, it's crazy. Some of these 5G pages are, if you're bored and you like science and you fancy some comedy unintentional, just go and have a watch of some of their videos. The David Icke 2 hour. If I'd written that for Steve Coogan, I'd be collecting a BAFTA.
Yeah, be collecting BAFTAs and some big checks. But like, isn't the most shocking thing when you actually have a real friend on social media who shares something like that. Someone that you thought you knew. Someone that you might have even gone to school with, and they might have got better test results than you. So you thought, hey, you're more intelligent than me. When they start sharing stuff like this and investing in this, how does that make you feel? Because for me, the level of disappointment I have in them, and also myself for thinking that they were more sensible.
It's depressing, because you associate it with, I'm sure there's going to be people like throwing their devices across the room that believe it now, but my prejudices, I associate it with, it's awful to say, lack of intelligence. I'm sorry to put it so bluntly. But
no, it's right. Say it louder, because on the clip, we're just going to turn that bit up loud anyway, so it's all good.
A little bit of thick.
Yeah.
So someone that is bright is like, are you naive? So I think sometimes people are just scared, so they're trying to put a pattern on things.
Yeah.
But as soon as someone goes, look, there's an energy in the universe, and we have to acknowledge that, delete, defriended. and then, like, I've got a good friend of ours. He's jumped across now to talking about smart motorways have got, will give you migraines and shit like that. And I was like, are you not for real? And, of course, you've got to remember my particular cultural background. This is sort of finished now, but since 2016 to now, a lot of people who were, I'd sort of kept, because we were friends when we were kids and we're sort of Facebook friends, no one in my inner circle, you just see the profile the Union Jack appears behind. Nothing wrong with that. I'm a patriot. I love the royal family. I love my flag and I love my country, and I celebrated St. George's Day, Gary Terry. I'm not against the flag. I'm just saying it sometimes is an indicator that someone's going down a certain path. Then it changes to, look, all I want to do is take back control of my country. Again, I will back anyone that I think Brexit could potentially be amazing. I didn't vote for it. I'm behind it. Now it's happening, blah, blah, blah. And then you see the, I'm not racist, but, and then I then that's what I,
but gone.
I'm from a very blue, Tory, working class, conservative background. So I've seen quite a few soldiers disappear behind my Guardian filter. It's bad. You shouldn't let things like that get in the way, but there's certain red lines for me. Yeah. And I think that people that don't believe in a virus that could harm I've got grandparents alive and shit like that. I think people like that are a little bit dangerous.
Mm.
Because if you believe you can only get it from a 5G mast, and you're nowhere near a 5G mast, then you're probably going to go out and take risks with this virus that you shouldn't be taking.
Yeah,
So my idea is let's put some people that believe with their whole heart that there's no such thing as a virus, that it's only caused by 5G masts. Let's put them in a mansion with David Icke, and then we'll breathe a coronavirus mist through the letterbox and just wait for them to be proved right.
I would
because
love that.
Because if they're correct, they can't be hurt.
I would love that. That would be a great show. I mean, apart from the potential fatalities, we've got to make sure everyone in the show is like proper reality show age of like low risk.
We'd put a deactivated corona that just gives you like a nasty cough and make you shit yourself.
Okay, nice. Yeah, no, I think so, definitely. So what we really should do is just... Oh, yeah. Hacky cough and some raw chicken breasts and somebody coughing some regular flu through a letterbox. I'll be all over that.
There is a bit of that. You're seeing people's true colours come out. But yeah, I try not to judge too harsh, because I've got some friends who are very religious, and you could be cynical and then delete your religious friends. But it's some people need an order and a pattern on things that can't be seen under a microscope. So they need God, or they need spirituality, or they need the lizard-faced Illuminati elites. Something to make sense of what's happening, whereas I just the miracle of science and nature and everything is enough for me personally, but it's not enough for some people.
I felt like a big disease was definitely something that was going to happen within our lifetime. It's happened before. I mean, smallpox is something that's happened before, so you know, for something like COVID-19 to happen is, you know, I'm not saying I'm not surprised. I wasn't there, so going, oh yeah, definitely, but something's going to happen in 2020 just on time. But yeah, it's something that I was like,
you were there when COVID-17 happened and no one was listening to you.
No one was listening to me. I was there.
COVID-17 took out Leon C. It was ignored.
Yeah, that's why I've got all of the anti-vax stuff as well, man. I've got loads of that. But yeah, no, actually, but to be fair, I looked back at when I was just before I had a chat with you, I looked back at some of your canings. 13th of March, you were talking about why hasn't lockdown happened. And I remember walking down the street and things were normal then. And you were discussing why haven't we locked down yet? And now looking back at that video, it's like, fuck, there were people there trying to warn us about how severe this was. That was when we just been told to wash our hands, Russell. That was just 20 seconds of washing your hands. That was the order from up top.
Have a tea, calm down, have a bit of banter, wash. Well, there were two strategies, clearly. One was, look, we can't fight this. Yeah. So let's just let people get it. Yes, we might lose a couple of thousand people, but we'll probably lose a lot more people economically, depression, lost jobs, blah, 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 if we go too extreme too early. Once people realized just how many people this could kill, they realized this was a mistake. Even though that herd science probably does add up, it only adds up if you say, okay, 100,000 people are going to die, but we'll have herd immunity. That's obviously not acceptable to say that. Yeah. And we just too late changed gear. The countries that, where they got on top of it, you know, reacted like some other Liam Neeson movie, welded the door shut, you don't leave the house.
Yeah.
You had a bit, some parts of Italy, I had some friends that were there, you needed a form to pop to the shops. One person was allowed to pop to the shop. We're still not me and Lindsay, we haven't even gone to pick up shopping. But other houses around here, people are driving to Tesco.
Yeah.
They can go, you can just go, it's not being policed. Yeah. I could go twice, pick up some broccoli and go, oh, I didn't pick up tomato puree and go again in the afternoon. Yeah. That shouldn't be happening, really.
Yeah, it shouldn't. In Cyprus, I've got some Cypriot friends, they got to send a text message to a service and they get a little code that's lasts for 3 hours. So if you get stopped by the police, they need to see your ID and they need to see the code. And there's like a code for shopping and essentials. There's a code for exercise. And, you know, that's kind of where the infrastructure can be put in place.
If we'd have done that early door, and everyone's like, yeah, but if you do it early doors, all that's going to happen is you get a second wave. Well, no, what we could have done instead was close the borders completely, just allow returning Brits to come home. And if they did, they stayed in the hotels at Heathrow for 14 days, then they were checked out of those hotels or wherever they flew into. And close the borders completely and ride it out as a country until the vaccination's ready. Yes, it will cripple us internationally, but we could have kept everything going internally.
Yeah.
Because if nothing's coming in, once we've got on top of it, we can just, you know, the vaccination will be here in January. We can all just get vaccinated and get it sorted.
Yeah. I mean, with that being said, though, they're going to have to do big numbers for vaccination. So I did a little bit of maths, but this is just around testing people this is just a test whether you have coronavirus or not. So if they can get tests up to 100,000 a day, it will take 1.9 years to get everyone in the UK tested. So with a vaccination, we're not, like 100,000 people a day isn't going to be an acceptable amount. Right. We're going to need 66 plus million injections here, stat.
Unless they can by post drop an antibody test, could mean you could have had it and not know.
Yeah.
We could be walking around is immune as fuck, staying indoors for no reason.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm not, people are like, well, you've got so much energy, why aren't you delivering groceries and doing this, that and the other, is because I don't want to be the person vaguely recognizable from TV that gives a granny fucking coronavirus because I didn't know I was carrying it and I didn't anti-back a shopping bag properly.
Exactly.
As soon as I get the green light that I've had it, I've got the antibodies and I'm clear, I'll be back out. I've got skills. And I've got stuff like I can fundraise, I can do this, that and the other. I could be out there. We can do events. There's things that you and I have got. Been blessed with that we can do, but until that point, I can't even see my in-laws who are 10 minutes down the road, but we all could be immune and not know. So the antibody test is vital, and it can be easily done at home. I got some of the very first ones from Singapore that are only 60% reliable, just out of scientific curiosity, and they're so easy to use. You just a little popper like that, bang, put it, it's like a pregnancy test. The blood goes up, one stripe, two stripes you've had it, one stripe you haven't. Easy.
You did it. And were you positive or not on the test?
Negative. They're not reliable, though.
All right. 60%.
Negative. They're not reliable. So what we wanted was to see two stripes, me and Lindsay, and then we're going to send tests to her mum and dad. And if they had two stripes, we know that even though we're isolating in two different houses, we're sort of isolating as a family. So they could just come and stay here for a couple of weeks. But we just can't get there in our heads to take that risk.
Because
if anyone got ill...
Yeah, you couldn't. And I think that's the thing that's kind of, I keep telling everyone, is that it's not just about yourself. It's about what you can do to others. Because there's people that are like fit, like yourself, healthy. But then, you know, you go and kiss your nan on the cheek. That's ta-ta to your nan. Do you get me? It's the last kiss.
Yeah. Well, they're saying anyone past their 40th, it jumps from about 39, 40 years, the probability of death triples, even though it's still 0.1%. Yeah. It's not 0.0001%. And they're saying that the risks are slightly higher to 60 plus than they're letting on. So everyone's like, oh, 70-year-old should stay in. But in fact, anyone with parents over 60, or if you're anyone over 60, yeah, in fact, you do need to be quite cautious as well, even if you've got no underlying condition.
100%. Russell, what's your policy on this, though? What is your policy on people being delivered cakes and stuff, homemade stuff for their birthday? I don't know. When I see it on social media, it's not the sort of thing that I want to comment on, but I don't know if it's, if I feel quite right with a little homemade cake from mum. I feel like that's unnecessary, you know what I mean? Contact, whether it's left outside your door or not.
Sneezing icing. And I mean, even so, for example, we're getting a lot of stuff from Amazon, yeah, and we're getting our shopping delivered, so yeah, we don't have to go to the supermarket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is a risk there. When an Amazon parcel arrives, yeah, we have a flash antibacterial floor wipe. We're doing every box of the floor, yeah, wipe, opening the post, putting the cardboard in a box, then washing our hands after that. That can be got around, but something that you're ingesting cannot. So we've not had a single takeaway since this started, believe it or not. And I thought we'd be living on them, but I just can't get there in my head. There's no clear guidance about, does hot food, I mean, if the food is piping hot, you're probably safe, piping hot. As long as you've washed your hands after you've touched the cartons, you're fine. But if it's cold food or salad or chilled, then you can imagine, particularly if it's a moist environment, like an icing or a salad or something, that a virus could potentially live in that for maybe 6-8 hours, maybe more. Why risk it? Exactly. Imagine if your last thought before you pop your clogs is like, I know I'm going to diet, but didn't I have a nice Victoria sponge on Thursday?
Oh, that cheesecake. Oh, I was just... Yeah, yeah.
It's like the sunbathers. Oh, Lauren had such a lovely colour before she coughed herself to death. Well, fucking hell, Lauren. I'd rather get some fake bake, stay in, you bellend.
All right. Anyway, I think we've done lecturing the masses today. Thank you for joining us on How to Kill an Hour, Russell, man. And
thank you.
Like, I just look forward to seeing wherever your content ends up next. I mean, like I said, you're there already. The podcast, you're already nailing them. Online, you're already cracking out with content. So yeah, man, I look forward to seeing more of that. We'll make sure we pop links in the show description so everyone can check it out. What should we be looking out for next? Is it just the show on Sunday that we're looking for then? Because this podcast is going out today.
Is that Sunday, that BBC Two show, is it?
I think you said it was Sunday. I don't know. I was going off your word.
So the comedian. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant the Comedians in Isolation.
No, your one. Show.
All right. So there's a BBC Two thing coming on. I don't know when that's on. There's a Channel 4 show that Matt Lucas is hosting where aerial drone goes over the country and drops into people's houses. Not really, but that's the premise.
Okay.
So I'll be doing some stand-up. On that. I've got a Facebook Live with Terry Donovan, that's conspiracy theorist, on Sunday. And I'll be dropping my canings regularly, twice a week. Official Russell Cain Facebook page. Or if you can't bear Facebook, I also upload them onto my Instagram and on my YouTube channel as well.
Nice. TikTok yet?
No, and I'm quite scathing. Listen, this is what I want. There's a way to improve the TikTok app. When you join it, you have to scan your driving license for ID. If you're over 30, it just says fuck off on the screen. Boom, improved.
Nice. It's just one too many TikTok. Why you got to do this to us, man? Right.
I like seeing people in their teens and early 20s making funny dances. But when I see a married couple bashing out, you know, an Ariana Grande video, it makes me feel sick.
Yeah. I don't care what kind of horse challenge you want to do. You know, like where the lady's got long hair and she bends over and the guy pretends he's riding a horse. Nah, I'm all right for that. Thank you very much.
Now that I'll have to check out now you mentioned it.
Next week on Russell's Caning. Right. Anyway, bruv, I'll leave you to it, man. You look like you've got a really busy situation there. Busy, packed day in the office. So,
we've been doing this. My daughter is obsessed with the beheading of Charles I. She's 4. I don't know what this means. So that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. Homeschooling, before I let you go. How's that going? All right. You enjoying yourself? Are you a perfect parent? Like I think you spoke about in your caning as well.
She's 4, not 5. So yeah. We just do a few letters here and there, but we're not taking it too seriously. Standard. She's not actually missing anything. So I'm saying just enjoy your last year of being like a kid with nothing going on.
Yeah, enjoy it. Yeah, last year where you might get outside. Yeah, standard. Yeah. All right, Rav, I'll leave you to it, man. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Make sure you follow us on all of our social medias at How to Kill an Hour. I'm at Marcus Bronzy. And you, is it all the same for you as well on all your socials? Is it all at Russell?
Right, it's definitely official Russell Cain Facebook. official Russell Kane Facebook page, Russell_Kane Instagram, Russell_Kane Twitter, my YouTube channel, just Google Russell Kane YouTube. Well, it's one of the ones I've got a really uncool title, like YouTube.com/FQMX12304, you know, some unpronounceable shit.
We can change that now. You can. I think you can.
Yeah.
But for probably now, just Google it, to be fair, isn't it? You'll find it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good one, Russell. Thank you very much for killing some time with us. And thank you guys for killing some time with us as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.